Philip Ryland's ascension at the Peggy Guggenheim Collection was accompanied by a few grudging comments, mainly complaints that as a student of the Renaissance, he was hardly qualified to oversee a gallery of modern art. There were murmurs also that Jane had maneuvered Philip into a position that had been meant for John Honesbean. But in fact, according to Messer, Peggy had never indicated any preference at all as to who should run the museum after she died. Not John Honesbean and not Philip Rylands. At the time, Philip's appointment caused very few ripples. When the Olga Rudge imbroglio surfaced almost 10 years later, however, the Rylands-Peggy Guggenheim connection came in for something of a reassessment. Some people thought they detected a pattern, a serial courtship of the elderly in Dorsoduro. First Sir Ashley and Lady Clark, then Peggy, then Olga. Selective gerontophilia is what Mary Laura Gibbs called it. Before the Rudge thing, she said, I would have defended Jane and Philip against any criticism about their intentions regarding Peggy. They were very good to her, especially Jane. But when it all happened again with Olga Rudge, it made me wonder. Thinking back on it, Mary Laura Gibbs recalled that at a certain point, Olga began to voice displeasure at Jane's meddling. Olga would make vaguely negative remarks in passing, like, I'd like to show you a piece of music, but Jane Rylands has taken all of that away. She was becoming suspicious and uncomfortable. Once the substance of the foundation was known, friends of Olga's wrote letters and made phone calls on her behalf. Joan Fitzgerald, whose early sponsorship of Jane and Philip had long since turned sour, called the American ambassador in Rome, Maxwell Rabb. Rabb looked into the matter and reported back, Jane and Philip Rylands seem to have many friends. James Laughlin, the founder of New Directions and Pound's publisher since the 1930s, tried to pressure Jane Rylands from the other side of the Atlantic. It was a big deal getting rid of that woman, he bellowed over the telephone when I reached him at his home in Connecticut. She had no business doing what she did. It took Donald Gallup 35 years of backbreaking work, starting in 1947, to assemble the Pound archives for the Beinecke Library at Yale. Gallup was the director. He tracked down scraps of paper all over the world, had to deal with 5 teams of lawyers and endless lawsuits between Pound's 2 families over who owned rights to what. Yale received 15 big boxes of Pound's papers in 1966 from Mary, but those boxes had to stay in the basement of the Beinecke for 7 years, unopened, until the lawsuits were over and done with. I'll bet Mrs. Rylands didn't know anything about all that. Now let me tell you something else she probably didn't know. Pound wrote a will in 1940, leaving everything to Mary. Books, property, everything. But because he didn't file the will with an Italian court at the time he wrote it, it was not technically valid, even though he reiterated his wishes in writing later on. After Pound was released from St. Elizabeth's, Dorothy was given sole authority for his legal affairs by the American authorities. Pound could not legally write another will unless Dorothy signed it, and Dorothy simply rejected the 1940 will. She and Omar hired lawyers. Mary had to bow to necessity and hire a lawyer herself. She ended up having to divide the estate with Omar. Then, after all that, along comes this Rylands woman with no Pound credentials whatever. She leaps in with both feet and causes more heartache and expense for a family that's already suffered for decades over this kind of thing. The pressure that made the difference came from the trustees of the Guggenheim Foundation in New York, the controlling entity. One of the trustees was Jim Sherwood, owner of the Cipriani Hotel. From Jane and Philip's perspective, Sherwood told me, they were saving Olga's papers. From the point of view of people in Venice, they were trying to steal them. The matter of the Ezra Pound Foundation came up at a board meeting in New York. The trustees were worried that the controversy might break out into the open and become an embarrassment to the museum. Furthermore, Peter Lawson Johnson, who was the chairman and a cousin of Peggy's, felt that because of Pound's anti-Semitism, Jane's involvement was in dubious taste in light of her connection to the Guggenheim through Philip. The board told Philip he had to choose between the Ezra Pound Foundation and his continued role at the museum.